Such as Shishi Mad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 5, The Cause of All Causes. Today's text is text 25.
Namasara Pibhutade.
Namasara Pibhutade.
Bhikurva Nadabhuna
Bhavam.
Tasya Matra Guna Shabdho. Lingam Yadra Drastri Drishayo. Namasara Pibhutade. Bhikurva Nadabhuna Bhavam. Tasya matra guna shabdho lingam yadrastri drishayo. Please chant. Tasya matra guna shabdho. Lingam yad rashti drishayo. Tamasa, from the darkness of false ego. Okay. Api, certainly. Bhuta ade, of the material elements. Bhikurvana,
because of transformation.
Abhut, generated. Nabha, the sky. Tasya, its. Matra, subtle form. Gunaha,
quality.
Shabdaha,
sound.
Lingam,
characteristics.
Yet,
as it.
Drastri,
the seer.
Drishayo,
of what is seen.
Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport. From the darkness of false ego, the first of the five elements, namely the sky, is generated. Its subtle form is the quality of sound, exactly as the seer is in relationship with the seen. Please repeat. From the darkness of false ego, the first of the five elements, namely, the sky,
is
generated.
Its subtle form is the quality of
sound. Exactly as the seer
is in relationship with the seeing.
The Srila Prabhupada's purport. And because it's such a thick purport, I may stop and then speak and then read some more. Okay. The five elements, namely sky, air, fire, water, and earth, are all but different qualities of the darkness of false ego. This means that the false ego, in the sum total form of Mahatattva, is generated from the marginal potency of the Lord. And due to this false ego, of lording it over the material creation, ingredients are generated for the false enjoyment of the living being. The living being is practically the dominating factor over the material elements as the enjoyer, though the background is the Supreme Lord.
Factually, save and accept the Lord, no one can be called the enjoyer, but the living entity falsely desires to become the enjoyer. This is the origin of false ego. So that, I'll just finish this paragraph. When the bewildered living being desires this, the shadow elements are generated by the will of the Lord, and the living entities are allowed to run after them as after a phantasmagoria. So, Om Agyanati Nirandhasya Gyananjana Shavakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kada Mayam Dadati Sapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kopa Chibhya Kripa Sindhu Deva Cha Patitanam Pavanibhya Vaishnavibhya Namo Namaha. In the second part of the purport, which we will read, so much about the holy name, including the whole Maha Mantra, is there, and that's so much nectar. I thought, let me tackle the more scientific and, for me, difficult part first. So, what struck me, especially in this part of the purport, is that it's the false ego. In the sum total form, well, the false ego is generated from the marginal potency of the Lord. And due to the false ego of lording it over the material creation, ingredients are generated for the false enjoyment of the living being. So who is that marginal potency of the Lord?
Us.
We are. Tatasta Shakti. Yeah, the jivas. We are the marginal potency of the Lord. So the false ego, whether individually or collectively in the form of the Mahatattva, the false ego comes from our desire to lord it over the material nature, the desire to be Krishna. This morning I was thinking, I know there's a song, and I tried to find it. I'm sure I found the right song, but it's a different translation. From Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is Sharanagati and song 7 of, the whole song 7, the first verse. This translation is, O Lord, with such a wicked mind as this, I have fallen into the material world. But you have sent one of your pure and elevated devotees to rescue me. The translation I was remembering and looking for, and then I finally found this, was, a wicked mind brought me into this world, and one of your pure and elevated devotees has come to bring me out. So what occurred to me, this whole section that we've been studying is very technical in one part, in one sense, but devotional service can be also simple, for the simple, and being fairly simple in my approach, what struck me is just that we need to take responsibility for our fallen state. That I'm here because I chose to basically want to lord it over, enjoy the resources of material nature. So that's what happened. And then while I was looking for books this morning, I came across this great book that I haven't read, and I don't know if I'll ever read it, but it's one of Sariputta Prabhu's books. It's called Maya, The World as Virtual Reality. So, anybody who's very scientifically minded should read this book. On the back cover of someone speaking about it says, in a sweeping synthesis The ideas and data of modern science are used to illuminate the ancient theme of consciousness in a world of illusion. So, scientifically minded people, here's a really good book. I've touched it. I bought it. I brought it home. I have read some of his books, and I like very much. And I liked hearing from him in person because the way he presents, and I think one of the people describing says, he presents it in a way that's enlivening both to scientists and laymen. Like, you can actually understand when he speaks. So I should read it. It's just that there's so many books to read. But the concept that Maya is the world as virtual reality. I remember early on hearing the example, probably came from Srila Prabhupada, that a mother's cooking in the kitchen, and the child, we see some small children, they want to imitate whatever their parents are doing, so let me cook. And so, of course, if you let a 3 or 5 year old, well, maybe 5 year old, they can take some responsibility. I think Krishna was 5 when he went to tend the calves.
Three.
He was 3. Oh, yeah, the calves. He was only 3? Well, he was extraordinary. But most 3 year olds, you wouldn't want to be. So you give them instead. We have either plastic or small little. The small little pot, small little pan, a mock oven, and they're happily stirring the pancake batter or whatever they're making. And that's kind of what this world is for us, because we clearly can't control. Krishna is, as Prabhupada says in the purport, factually save and accept the Lord. No one can be called the enjoyer, but the living entity falsely desires to become the enjoyer. This is the origin of false ego. So remembering another part of the Bhagavatam where the coverings of the universe are mentioned, the universe itself is so many millions of miles, then there's a covering over the universe. The first covering is of earth, right? The second one is of water, then fire, and each layer. So the first covering, I believe, is 10 times the size of the universe itself. The next layer is 10 times that. The next layer is 10 times that. So you go through all these earth, water, fire, air, ether, and then you get layers of subtle elements. The layer of the mind is 10 times bigger than the previous layer, which was, when you do the math, it's inconceivable. And then there's intelligence. And the thickest layer of all that we have to go through before we can exit the material world is the layer of false ego. So how important it is for us to realize that I'm not the things I think I am. Typically, we think that we're the body. I'm a woman, I'm old, I'm young, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm this nationality or that nationality or this religion or that. But actually, who we actually are is Jivara Swarupaya Krishna Nitya Das. The living entity is eternally, it's spirit soul, and eternally the servant of Krishna. So if we can practice learning to see like that of ourselves and also others, that they're not the person I think or that they think they are based on externals. But see everyone as a spirit soul, servant of Krishna, maybe slumbering, maybe covered. We're covered, they're covered, so we have a lot in common with all these other conditioned souls. So, and another thing I thought of, especially in connection with this part about the seer, in relation, so this, the first of the 5 elements, namely the sky, is generated. Its subtle form is the quality of sound, exactly as the seer is in relationship with the seeing. So what kept coming to my mind, and I couldn't find it at first because I didn't know the first parts of the line I was thinking of. Oh, it's not there. It's here. But the phrase samsparsa jabhoga, I finally found it by looking in the index under senses. So Bhagavad Gita chapter 5, text 22. Yehi samsparsa jabhoga dukkha yona ya evate atyantavanta kaunteya teshu ramate buddha. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. So that I once heard a class by Ravindra Sarup Prabhu, that phrase, samsparsa jabhoga, the touching of the senses with their objects, it just embedded itself in my mind. So I thought of that verse for reference's sake, that this world is actually Krishna's world, and we are, as his servants, meant to engage everything in the world in his service, even though we have a strong tendency since time immemorial to try to enjoy with our senses the things of this world. So what do? We take what's offerable and we offer it to Krishna, and then we enjoy his remnants. And this is the mercy, the prasad of Krishna, to make some facility that we can actually, while we're in the world, identifying with the world, identify, but we have a process to follow so that we can rise up out of this misidentification. So I'm going to read the rest of the purport now, but I just wanted to, unless anybody has something to say yet. Yes, okay, Vagatmika does.
Since you did just repeat that second sentence of the verse,
mm-hmm.
Is it possible you could reword that, rephrase it to better understand? I have no clue what it is indicating. Read the verse. Read
okay,
the line again
from
for those
who don't. From the darkness of false ego.
No, the second line.
Okay.
It's all related.
Okay. From the darkness of false ego, the first of the five elements, namely the sky, is generated. Its subtle form, or the subtle form of the sky, is the quality of sound, exactly as the seer is in relationship with the seen. Well, I took it that, like, I can look at you. You're over there. I see you. You're now the seen, and I'm the seer.
Uh-huh.
So we don't actually touch, or like the fragrance, the living entity carries his different conceptions of life as the air carries aroma.
Mm.
So then in that purport in the Gita Prabhupada, just, you know, the air can go over a rose garden, or it can go over a stool pit, and the aroma is coming, it touches your nose, you're not touching the rose, you're not touching the moochy thing, but there's some connection. That's the best, from my own understanding, but with scriptural reference. But if I could read the rest of the purport, it may help. I don't know, but it might help. Did you want to answer that, Pandit Prabhu?
No.
Okay.
Subject and object.
Subject and object. Yeah. Madhumati has a clue. Insight.
No,
or a question.
Question.
Oh, okay.
Trying to understand what Radhika was saying. So you explained the part of the seer and the seen. Now, what is that that's used as an example to show what? That the sky and the sound? Is that the other part? Is the sky is the...
The sound is the subtle form of sky.
The sky is the subtle form.
No, the sound is the subtle form of sky.
And how does that... Because the example is given of the seer and the seen, and so the sky and the sound is compared. Which one is the seer and which one is the seen, so to speak, in the sky and the sound? And then where does the false ego come in there? I'm just asking the question over that. Could you put that there? Yeah. It says here, it's meaning the false ego, or is the sky? From the darkness of false ego, the first of the five elements, namely the sky, is generated. So the sky, subtle form, is the quality of sound. So which one is the seer and which one is the seen in this case?
I actually don't exactly know. It's part of the thing is, this is a very technical section. Many speakers that are more elevated than I in the previous verses were saying, I have trouble understanding this. So I'm just trying to hear it. But what I get is that all the five elements and the subsequent other elements all come from false ego. Just that the sky is first. And Nandini wants to say something.
Thank you. That helps.
Oh, okay.
I like what you have said so far. And if we read the second paragraph, it's more clear.
Right, yeah, I'm coming to that. Thank you.
Read the second paragraph, it's much more clear.
Okay, here we go. Okay. It is said that first the Tanmatra sound is created, and then the sky. And in this verse, it is confirmed that actually it is so. But sound is the subtle form of the sky. And the distinction is like that between the seer and the seen. Oh yeah. The sound is the representation of the actual object, as the sound produced speaking of the object gives an idea of the description of the object. Therefore, sound is the subtle characteristic of the object. Similarly, sound representation of the Lord, in terms of his characteristics, is the complete form of the Lord, as was seen by Vasudeva and Maharaj Dasharatha, the fathers of Lord Krishna and Lord Rama. The sound representation of the Lord is non-different from the Lord himself, because the Lord and his representation in sound are absolute knowledge. Lord Chaitanya has instructed us that in the holy name of the Lord, as sound representation of the Lord, all the potencies of the Lord are invested. Thus, one can immediately enjoy the association of the Lord by the pure vibration of the sound representation of his holy name. And the concept of the Lord is immediately manifested before the pure devotee. A pure devotee, therefore, is not aloof from the Lord even for a moment. The holy name of the Lord, as recommended in the Shastras, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, may therefore be constantly chanted by the devotee aspiring to be constantly in touch with the Supreme Lord. One who is thus able to associate with the Lord is sure to be delivered from the darkness of the created world, which is a product of false ego. Tamasi ma jyotir gama. So, before it gets into the holy name, and, yes, this description that the sound of the sound produced speaking of the object gives an idea of the description of the object. Like we can say rabbit or
microphone.
I was trying to think of some big heavy machine. But it could be a forklift. Okay, whatever. Atom bomb. You say something and people imagine this thing, Jaladutta. It's a great big ship. But when you talk about Krishna's name, the sound and the thing, the person that it represents, there's actually no difference at all. So it's different than what the sound is here. But because Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya has instructed us that in the holy name of the Lord, as sound representation of the Lord, all the potencies of the Lord are invested. And that naturally reminds us of Nam Nam Okari Bahudani Jasava Shaktis Tatra Pitani Amatas Maranena Kala Etadrishi Tatripa Bhagavan Mamapi Durdaiva Midrishan Ihana Niva Nirata. So, O Lord, your holy name alone. I got from Chaitanya Charitamrita slightly different. My Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in your holy name there is all good fortune for the living entity, and therefore you have many names such as Krishna and Govinda by which you expand yourself. You have invested all your potencies in those names, and there are no hard and fast rules for remembering them. My dear Lord, although you bestow such mercy upon the fallen conditioned souls by liberally teaching your holy names, I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy name, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for chanting. So, I haven't read the Anchalila in a long time. And so I kept reading the verses after that. I just put the translation of some of them. He says, because people vary in their desires, you have distributed various holy names by your mercy. Regardless of time or place, one who chants the holy name, even while eating or sleeping, attains all perfection. And it goes on and describes, as Lord Chaitanya does in Shastakam, this is from that section, that please hear from me the symptoms of how one should chant. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. So it's, again, tackling false ego, but from a different angle. It's like, oh, I tend to think, oh, I've studied so long, I can quote so many verses, you know, or someone may think, I'm senior, this one's junior, for this reason or that reason. But no, those kinds of thinking prevent us from actually tasting Krishna's holy name. It has to be tolerant, not wanting respect, very happily willing to give respect. When I hear these things, I realize that I'm the one that needs to hear all these teachings, just repeating it to share. So I'll stop again and see if someone has questions or comments, because it is a technical and wonderful subject matter. Pran Govinda Prabhu.
First of all, according to our philosophy, the jivas structure, how jivas are formed, is an energy of God, has no trace of false ego or maya or anything. That should be clear.
Right.
Jiva, tiny energy of the Lord, comes from the marginal status. It is not a physical demarcation between the material and spiritual. It is also spiritual demarcation. So it is not traceable by our material calculation where it's originated from. False ego appears the moment jiva from the marginal status desire or got attracted by the allure activity of Maya. Desire to enjoy is the birthplace of false ego. Mm. So it is before material world but not in spiritual world. It's a border. Prabhupada didn't say border, but one lecture Prabhupada said false ego appears before the material nature, but it is a product of material. So then it's like a, I don't know if you ever went to Disneyland. I remember 25 years back I went with the kids to the Disneyland. And they put on glasses mm-hmm. on you, three-dimensional. Mm-hmm. Then you see bugs are like attacking. And another person had a cake coming, trying to grab the cake. So is the cake outside or in the glasses? Where?
It's...
Where is it?
It's an illusory cake.
So when we have a false ego, right, covered the soul, he is forced to see all the scenario that explained in this chapter. We are seeing everything, this is with the eye of the false ego. Soul mm-hmm. is the seer.
Right.
But soul seeing through the glasses of false ego.
Right.
So it is all product of false ego.
Right.
So in that sense it is illusion.
Right.
But the seer is real.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But seeing object is not, may not be real.
Right. And in another places, discussing with Mayavadis who say the world is false. No, it's real, but it's temporary. And so in that sense, it's unreal, the asat.
Well, the reason also, you can also go on the other side. The conditioned soul, they have to awaken their love for God. In order to awaken their love for God, they cannot jump off the material boundary, then they will get there. No. It has to be practiced in this world right. with the material body,
right.
with the material senses, material ingredients, right. and process that whatever is given by the material nature. So what we are doing, we are spiritualizing our attachment, affection, entanglement, into spiritualized. The moment it becomes spiritualized, then Satchidananda will act on
right.
it. That's right. why Prabhupada gave that example of the iron.
That's what I was just
the
thinking.
The logic you cannot put, it is still iron. That's why Prabhupada said,
then touch
if you look at it, yeah, touch it. So we cannot put a logic like this.
Right.
In ISKCON, we see senior devotees, when they take the position of guru, it's like a worshipable object. Why? Because Brahma Arpanam, Brahma Havi, Brahma Agno, Brahma Hutam, Brahma Naiva Tena Gantibvam, Brahma Karma Samadhina. 424 Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says how material elements turn into spiritual.
They're all offered in the fire of Correct. Sacrifice.
With that absorption, right. thinking. So when a devotee, a senior devotee in our movement, they do this, their body is worshipable object mm. because it's spiritualized. Just like touching the iron. Logic cannot apply there. Right. That's why I like it the way Prabhupada said, touch it.
Right, right. Thank you. And another, thank you very much. Something else I thought of reading the part about the seer and the seen and sound being the subtle form of sky. A memory came to me in 1976 in the summertime. Myself and a couple other ladies were assigned to distribute Back to Godhead magazines in the parking lot of the visitor center of the Grand Canyon. So all summer long we were there. We had these BTGs because that was the bicentennial, 200-year anniversary of the United States Declaration of Independence. So the magazine said, declaring our dependence on God. And they printed so many, and all summer long, every day, we were going in the parking lot. But before we began our service, our Sankirtan leader had taken us. We arrived sometime dark. It was like Brahma Muhurta time. And we went to the edge of the Grand Canyon. And we got out of the car, and there was like no one around. Complete, not exactly silence. But what came to me was how Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am the sound in ether. I felt that, you know. So this sound is the subtle quality of the sky. So I wanted to just share that because it was such a, for me, profound moment. And then also when you were talking, I remembered that I printed out a verse that gives us a clue about going back to Godhead. It's from Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, 17, which we often recite, Shrimvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyam Tatsto Hyabhadrani Vidhunoti Suritsatam. Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So that goes along with the concept that Krishna is his name. The messages of the Bhagavatam themselves, the messages are pious. If we sit and listen attentively, as this is a daily practice for so many, whether physically or online or even tuning in later, or so many classes there are, by hearing attentively. And then in the purport, Prabhupada says, the Lord is so kind to us that he can be present before us personally in the form of transcendental sound. But unfortunately, we have no taste for hearing and glorifying the Lord's name and activities. We have already discussed developing a taste for hearing and chanting the holy sound. It is done through the medium of service to the pure devotee of the Lord. So this is another clue that by serving in small or large ways, it's not the quantity but the quality of service attitude that Krishna is looking for. And we do some service for Srila Prabhupada, for his movement. Krishna very much appreciates, and that gives us a taste for hearing his name and his teachings. And those teachings then become real within our heart. Yaya tamam prapadyante. So it's a gradual process, you know. You may let go of the material attachments 10%, 20%, 30%, and be attached to Krishna 10, 20, 30. And as we move in his direction, he moves, of course, many more times in our direction, pulling us very kindly, sometimes chastising, that's also necessary. But, yeah. Any comments? Pran Govinda Prabhu. Oh, Ragatmika Prabhu.
Yeah, I still can't. I've been rereading this through the whole time here.
Okay.
I still can't come up with a understanding of these connections with the seer, the seeing, the subtle. But the last sentence of the purport is something to take away. One who is thus able to associate with the Lord is sure to be delivered from the darkness of the created world, which is a product of false ego.
Right. Well, that's basically what I meant when I said simple for the simple. It's nice if we have the intelligence and the interest. Not only nice, it's valuable. Prabhupada wanted that preachers be learned. But it's not necessary that we completely understand all the intricacies if we've got the main point, as you just reiterated. The Hare Krishna mantra may therefore be constantly chanted by the devotee aspiring to be constantly in touch with the Supreme Lord. All the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed by one who surrenders to the spiritual master. Madhumati Ji.
It's interesting that this world is virtual, so to speak, yeah? I mean, that's in itself is like, what? I mean, I'm not real, you know? I mean, but okay, I accept. It's virtual.
Wait, you are not real.
Well, I am real, but the world is not real.
And this body.
But the body is not real, but I'm real. Yeah. So,
temporary.
Yeah, I'm not virtual.
Body is also real, but temporary.
It's interesting to kind of think that how this virtual that we see as reality will allow us to get out of this virtual virtual reality. I mean, it's actually pretty amazing,
right,
to think about that. Because like Pran Govinda Prabhu was saying, is that we dovetail our emotions or everything towards Krishna. So then this world actually helps us to get out, even though it's virtual, in some sense, temporary or whatever. I mean, I think that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, no, that is. It's because nothing in the world has separate existence from Krishna, and Krishna loves us. When you were speaking, it reminded me, slightly different, but a thorn can be used to take a thorn out. So,
that's a good example.
Yeah. We're here. This is what we have now. So use what you have in Krishna's service, and Krishna will bring you back to his real service, which has no beginning, no end, and could not be destroyed.
No one else.
Now,
we can add all this.
Oh, of course.
If you have access of the 326.32 famous verse about the sun, Bhagavatam.
Well, I don't know whether I do.
326.32, Prabhupada gave also a clue in the purport. I'm paraphrasing what
right,
I remember.
Because it's third canto, it's not here.
The creation began with the sun.
Uh-huh.
The first there was sun.
Right.
And
in the beginning was the Word. It says in the Bible.
Yeah. And there are four types of annihilation.
Okay.
One type of annihilation is not under time. Is not under Krishna either.
What type?
What do you think? It's in 12th canto. Four chapter, seven chapter. Two chapter talks about annihilation. So one annihilation is that people are taking birth and dying. This is a one type of disturbance. Mm-hmm. Then second is everyday Brahmaji goes to sleep.
Right.
They have a different name. Prakritiki pralaya, then Atmiki pralaya, then Brahmaji 100 years, the big devastation. But the number fourth, a little more. The soul, completely liberated, is not under time, is not under Krishna, is not under anything. It's individually us. We have to decide to dissolve that.
Why do you say not under Krishna?
Because Krishna, everything is sanctioned by Krishna. It's not under Krishna.
Oh, he doesn't. Gotcha.
He doesn't
the difference between
that.
His will and his sanction, his desire.
You have to individually,
choose.
I have to decide to
right.
go back home
right.
and accept this bhakti and the proportion to my speed
right.
and purity
right.
that it will make. So I have to make my last destruction or annihilation in this material existence.
But the last destruction is not of the soul, you're destroying the false ego.
Right. The false ego.
Not only false ego, you have attachment, like details.
Yeah, but
those are
emotional support.
Aren't those all aspects of false ego?
Yeah.
when you say false ego, it's like a bypassing. Everything is Krishna. That's like you can never get out of it. It is everything Krishna, in one sense. But everything is not Krishna also.
No,
Krishna
but,
and Krishna.
The false ego.
But when you say...
Okay, I understand. Okay, let's go back. So false ego, in the mood of ignorance, produce the five sense objects. False ego, in connection with the passion, created the senses.
Right.
False ego, in contact with the sattva-gun, created the demigod, sense perception. In one sense, yes, everything coming from false ego. But we have to break down in the details in order to get out.
Okay.
Otherwise, we'll just think, oh, like right now, we are listening about Krishna. Do we have a false ego?
I do.
No. In 1858, you look at it, please, in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, mat chitta sarva durgani mat prasadat tarishyasi. Ata cheta ahankara na susrasi vinakshasi. So if you hear about me, you don't have a false ego. So how can you say we are listening to class about Krishna? How can you say we have false ego now?
Yeah.
Means that's why Prabhupada stressed that point all the time. You have to chant and think of Krishna, then false ego disappears. You have it? 1850?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
If
the translation, if you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. So, when you ask me, do I have false ego? I know right now we're discussing Krishna. If we were staying here all day long and no hunger, no thirst, like Maharaj Pariksit, then maybe so. But I happen to know that when I get up from here, I'm going to go look for prasadam, all these things. In my normal daily life, I'm completely covered by false ego. But I feel very, very, very grateful that I've heard about Krishna, that I have some taste for hearing and chanting. Not enough, but some. So I'm thinking proportionate. There's some portion that's real. And that's why I'm trying to use, you know, what I have, whatever intelligence or ability to read out loud or tell a story, in his service. But, I mean, it would for me to think that I don't have false ego, I just can't even imagine.
No, that's true, but we also have to have a strong faith that when I'm chanting attentively, when I'm hearing from the speaker, there is absence of false ego. Krishna said this.
Yes.
And we have to have a strong faith. We have to want to hold it.
Thank you.
I want to hear about Krishna, I want to chant, then false ego is not there. It's not my word, Krishna is giving guarantee. Right?
So we just need to increase our hearing and chanting and discussing philosophy and Krishna's pastimes and all will be well. Thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.